All right, welcome on in. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Jake Plummer is going to join us in a couple of minutes via Skype from Boulder, Colorado, our weekly visit with Jake. And it's always good to catch up with Jake Plummer, brought to you by Columbus Meats, J.P. Patchett and company at Columbus Meats. Appreciate their support. Kyle Whittingham is going to join us today live at 10:30. The head football coach of the Utah Utes, top five ranked team in the nation, undefeated, and facing Arizona State this Saturday night. What a terrific, terrific matchup. This Saturday is loaded with great games. Just great stuff. And then at 10:50, we're going to head out to West Virginia. Kent Summers with AZ Central Sports, Arizona Cardinals insider, is going to join us from White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia, a hotspot of hotspots. But that is where the Cardinals have been practicing this week. And I want to talk to Kent about Dwight Freeney and Calais Campbell working together, Chris Johnson, Ben Roethlisberger. And as the Cardinals get ready for Sunday morning's 10 a.m. kickoff at Pittsburgh, we'll visit with Kent Summers. That's all coming up. So Jake Plummer, Kyle Whittingham, Kent Summers. I think today the buzz nationally and internationally is about a bat flip in a baseball game. We'll get to all the other stuff going on in the state in a minute. But, you know, the Coyotes last night won. That was great. The Suns are playing tonight, or tomorrow night rather, the Cardinals, all the college, but the bat flip in the Toronto game. Eric, did you by chance get to see the flip last night or everything?
I did. No, I was actually at home doing some work and watching the game live, and it was one of those, it just bizarre baseball innings from what happened in the top half of the inning with the Rangers. The Russell Martin, and then just the drama and how just crazy that stadium was going after the home run.
So Jose Bautista flips his bat, and when you see it happen, all I could say is, oh my gosh, holy bleep, did you see that? Did he really just do that? And the fans responded in such a way in last night's game. So he hits the ball, I mean, into the, you know, he just monster jack out of there, and they go crazy. But here's where everybody's all up in arms. You know, he stands there and admires, and he throws the bat. He flips the bat. That bat flip turned sports upside down last night. Turned it upside down. Because it is one of those things that you see a guy flip a bat in that moment, and for many fans, baseball wonders why it is not appealing to a younger generation, okay? Millennials want to see this. They want to see this. Guys like us that have seen the game for 30, 40, 50 years, whatever, we are caught up in the rules of baseball, the unwritten rules of baseball. And when I saw it, I said, well, good for him.
It's almost kind of back to the future for me, Brad, because the first person I remember doing the bat flip was Ken Griffey Jr. And that was sort of two generations ago.
Yeah, yeah.
But in a way, you know, Bautista is sort of bringing the sizzle back to baseball, but offending the old school baseball, old modern day, you know, the we have to have, you know, the unwritten rules, blah, 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 all that. So while you're appealing to a younger generation with stuff like which happened yesterday that went viral within seconds, you're also angering the old school baseball fan. But you can't make everybody happy, and baseball needs all the buzz they can get.
Well, here's the thing. If all he does is drop the bat, it doesn't go viral, and millennials don't care, okay? Baseball is sitting here right now having an awesome, awesome first week of playoffs.
Indescribable. I mean, every series is like a beautifully played out soap opera.
Sure.
Dramatic games, great pitching, clutch hitting, just exactly what baseball needs.
I'm more into watching Dodgers-Mets tonight than I am Falcons-Saints.
Yeah, you know it'll be garbage. The Thursday night games are always
Brutal. The players are beat up. It's overuse of your workforce on the football end of things. And unless you have fantasy players, it's like, what is the point? Versus, here's a game five. And after what happened yesterday, where he flips the bat, there's going to be younger players, or younger people rather, not players, just younger people that today are saying, did you see what who's Joey Bats? Never heard of Joey Bats. And it's Toronto. Part of this that is also on my radar today is, so the guy that gave up the home run, Sam Dyson, he goes nuts on this, and after the game said, quote, Jose needs to calm that down. Just kind of respect the game a little more. He's a huge role model for the younger generation that's coming up playing this game. And I mean, he's doing stuff that kids do in wiffle ball games and backyard baseball. It shouldn't be done, end quote. Let me fill you in on something, Sam. If you struck him out, if you got him out, he's not going to flip the bat. If you did your job versus complaining about how he celebrated and respecting the game, are there going to be kids on Little League fields that flip bats?
Sure.
You know what? It's going to happen. And unfortunately for a segment, not everybody is into this old school, this is the way that it should be, okay? But the game needs attitude. The game needs a balance of respect. You can have guys that go hit a home run and they put their bat to the ground and they run the bases. Paul Goldschmidt would never flip a bat like that. Have we seen Paul Goldschmidt ever do something like that? No. But Jose Bautista, that's what he did. That's his thing. In the moment, I don't know how I'd react. A moment like that in the postseason, this isn't a game in June at Tampa Bay with 13,000 people in the stands and 8,000 are asleep. Okay? This is playoff baseball. This is the emotion you want to see.
And they were crazy up there in Toronto, throwing stuff on the field and tossing beers in the stands, and just it had the feel of a rock concert, not a baseball game.
Now, I know we have Jake here in a minute, but let me just follow up on that. So there were 39 fans that were ejected last night. And I did not know this, and it's not something that I check on every day, but beers at games in Toronto are sold in the beer cans. They're not sold in plastic cups. So when you have projectiles of beer cans being thrown onto the field, and supposedly Canadians are pretty docile, right? Well, no, not exactly.
So you're saying Molson must have gotten a lot of free publicity if they had any tight shots on the cans.
The cans are on the field. Well, that was what was going on last night.
Speaking of that, Stanford is playing UCLA tonight in a relatively big Pac-12 game.
If you don't feel
like watching any of the NFL or the baseball playoffs.
No, I mean, I'm going to watch baseball.
It's a late start. It doesn't start until, I think, like 7:30.
What do I have tonight? I have something tonight, but none of it's as important as Dodgers-Mets. I don't know. All right. Kyle Whittingham in about 10 minutes. Jake Plummer is going to join us via Skype on the other side from Boulder, Colorado, about ASU Utah. And Ken Summers in about 30 minutes. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, let's dig deeper now into the college football scene. A monster weekend ahead. Jake Plummer joins us, as always, via Skype. He is in Boulder, Colorado. Are you at a birthday party? What is the balloon doing in the shot? What do you have there, Jake? Come on. A Go Devils balloon right off the top?
Yeah, you know, I got to somehow support the guys. You know, being a Pac-12 analyst, I have to remain partial and not get too excited about my team. But people know where I come from, so I got to, you know, have a little allegiance to spit out there once in a while.
No, I get it. Huge game at Utah. Let's just talk first about Kyle Whittingham and the job that he's done as head coach and building that program in Salt Lake City.
You know, it's great to see a guy get to stick around and put his coaching philosophies and build his staff and build up his program. Go through, you know, some really good seasons, some tough seasons, but you're seeing it all come to fruition. And I think, you know, a lot of these programs, they fire coaches too soon. They don't let them get a chance to build a program. And he's had this chance and this opportunity now, and you're going to see what happens. They got a really solid team, and a team that I've been talking about for the last couple years. I think last year they were one of the best teams, if not the best all-around team in the Pac-12. And now this year they've had some big victories and they're getting to show everybody, you know, what they're capable of doing. And I think that it's great for him and a great position for the Pac-12 to have a team ranked that high. It's unfortunate they have to play the Sun Devils, but I think it's a great opportunity for both teams to go out there and show us what it's all about. They played some really tight games the last couple years, and I expect the same thing from them this weekend, a hard-fought game that who knows which way it's going to go, but right now, you give Utah the edge with where they're poised and how well they've been playing.
Yeah, Todd Graham has not lost to Kyle Whittingham, and I think you look at momentum and very emotional win for Utah over Cal, but at the same time, Arizona State, I had Mike Bercovici on earlier this week, and he said we're figuring it out, and it seems like this is the right time. If these two teams met a month ago, I don't think it'd be a fair fight. That's not the case Saturday.
Yeah, you know, I've been in touch with Berko myself, and you know, been really happy to see him run the ball, take the ball, and then, you know, get back into, you know, keying that defense and riding that fake, giving it, and then taking it occasionally and keeping them on track. He's done a great job. He stepped up his game, but everyone around him really has stepped up also. I think through all the tough couple losses, Texas A&M obviously is so far gone and out of the picture. But look at Texas A&M; they're a really solid football team. USC, that was one of those you wish you could have back and have a chance to play them. Sad to see what they're going through with Sarkisian. Hate to see him struggling. But ASU looks to be back on track. They got back to playing football, focusing in on what they can do and not worrying about what everyone else is talking about or what they're lacking or what other people think. They're just focusing on themselves. And the time they spend together and have spent together all through the offseason and the team-building things they've done, I think they're just leaning on that experience and that care for one another. And embodying really what we did back in 96 and the years prior is one at a time. You can't do anything about the game down the road. All you can do is focus on what you have in front of you today. Whatever they're doing today is what matters, and then worry about tomorrow when that day comes. So the one at a time mentality and just getting back to playing good football.
You know, Jake, let's switch over to U of A, because if I would have told you the last couple of weeks over 300 yards per game on the ground out of Rich Rodriguez. This is ground Rich. Remember ground Chuck back in the day with Chuck Knox. U of A is running the football, and they're in a spot in their schedule where I think they're figuring some things out. Not having a bye, they're getting some guys back healthy. What do you see going on as they come up to your neck of the woods to take on the Buffaloes Saturday?
Well, their run game is lethal. They just keep plugging guys in there, getting them running hard. And you have an athlete at quarterback like Anu Solomon who's really good at faking the ball himself, and whether it's running or having that run pass option after the fake, you know, you got to be really, really disciplined as a defense. So to see them get going again, obviously injuries are really what can really hurt a team, especially a team as talented as the Wildcats are. It's good to see them get healthy. We want every team in the Pac-12 at full strength, and I think they're going to be coming into a CU team that isn't at full strength. They're losing linebackers left and right, and that's hard when you got your linebacker that Gillum that's hurt, and then as you go down the line, each guy that keeps getting hurt, they're pulling guys out of red shirts and getting them on the field. So they're gonna have their hands full, the Buffs are, with the Wildcats. I don't see what happens, but from watching that ASU game, I know one thing: when you play football, you can't play sloppy. Yep. And you can't commit dumb penalties. And you have to, go after it and play hard. And I think that CU plays tough, but they just can't play sloppy. And I think, Coach McIntyre will try to clean that up a little bit. I'd like to see the Buffs compete and show some fight, but I don't know how they're going to stop that run game. It's definitely lethal what the Wildcats are doing.
Good stuff. As always, Jake, we'll talk next week. See you this weekend on the Pac-12 Network. Thanks.
All right. Hey, thanks, Brad.
Let's talk Utah Utes football now for a couple of minutes. Kyle Whittingham, the head football coach, joins us as we get ready for Saturday night. The Utes at home in a rowdy, raucous environment. One of the best environments when I see college football games against Arizona State. Of course, the College Football Playoff Committee looking closely at this. The CFP title game is here in the Valley in Glendale in January. Coach, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show. You and I have talked through the last years as you've been building the program, and you've been very open and honest each year saying, Brad, we're not quite there yet. We're not quite there yet. But every time we talk year after year, I felt like you were getting closer and closer. Is this what you expected this season?
Well, we're off to a good start, obviously. I guess I'm going to say we're not quite there yet again for a fifth consecutive year, because it's always a work in progress, But we feel, without a doubt, we feel that we've made progress through the first 5 years and are more equipped at this point in time than at any time since we joined the league to compete. And we're still not as deep as we'd like to be at some spots and need to be a little faster at other spots. But we've closed the gap, and so we're just going to keep playing hard, keep preparing the right way. We got a tough stretch coming up, and it starts this week with Arizona State. We got to be ready every week for seven straight weeks.
Your fan base, it's as good a look as I've seen. I saw the Michigan game. I saw the Cal game. it feels and looks like from a distance that the entire community, city, maybe state, is around your program now.
Yeah, I think you're right. We've had great support from the community. We're closing in on 40 straight sellouts, which encompasses about 6 years, I think, maybe a little over 6 years. And we don't have the biggest stadium in the conference, but we can squeeze close to 50 in there, and it's at capacity every week and standing room only and all that. So we can't say enough good things about our fans and the support they've given us. And it really starts with the MUS, our student section, the Mighty Utah student section, and our band does a great job. So it is a great environment. Bottom line, it's a great home field advantage for us, and we hope that continues.
Devontae Booker, when you talk about him, I'm a Heisman voter. There's a lot of people that want to talk about a running back down in the state of Louisiana, which is fine, but I think you have to work through the whole process. Should he be part of the conversation nationally?
In my opinion, yes. In our opinion, yes, here at Utah. And I did a little bit of campaigning for him, I guess you could say, in the offseason, because I felt he was under the radar and not really being recognized as much as he should have been by the national pundits. And we think he's terrific. Now, I know there's a lot of good football players out there, but he should at least be in the conversation, in our opinion. He's a complete back, and that's really the thing that is the most impressive about him is his ability not only to run the ball but to catch the ball out of the backfield and to protect, his blocking assignments. And so he does it all for us. He's the focal point of the offense. The offense runs through him, and we firmly believe that he should at least be in that Heisman conversation.
Defense, let's go over to that side of the football. Not many better groups, personnel groups, across the country, but in particular in the Pac-12 conference. Saturday night, looking at Arizona State, your ability to get after Berkovich, who's decided to run a little bit more with the football. Can you just talk about that matchup a little bit?
Well, we feel pretty good about our defense. Going into the season, we felt our front seven was going to be a strong suit, which it has been. And the secondary was a little bit of a question mark. And those guys in the back end have proven to be pretty darn good. I think we're second in the nation in interceptions, and we might be first or second turnover margin. So we're doing a good job in the back end. We were able to intercept the Cal quarterback 5 times last week, and that's one of the best quarterbacks in the country. So proud of the way the defense is playing. There's always room for improvement, but so far to this point in the season, they've done a nice job.
When you look at Arizona State, this has been a hard-fought series, and Berkovich told me on the show earlier this week that they know they've had success, but each game could have gone either way. Size up how you've fared against ASU and what you anticipate on Saturday night.
Well, the bottom line is we haven't fared very well, in the win-loss column. But there's two teams in the conference that we have not beat since we joined, and they're one of them. And in the last 2 years, we had a chance. We had a fairly decent lead in the fourth quarter 2 years ago, 9, 10 points, 11 points, something like that at our place. Not able to hold on to it. Then we went into overtime last year, and they ended up making one more play than we did. So the bottom line is we haven't done anything against Arizona State. They've had their way with us in the win-loss column, and we got to try to get that corrected.
Before I let you go, when you look at Arizona, and this show goes into New Mexico and up into Las Vegas as well, your recruiting base down here, you've come down here. Is this a focal point? Is this Southwest area focal point for you?
It is. We've put manpower down in Arizona and make sure we do our diligence in the evaluation and don't miss anybody. Now it's hard to get a kid out of Arizona that's highly sought after that's right in Arizona State's or Arizona's backyard. Just like we feel it would be hard for them to come into Salt Lake City and grab a kid. But it is in our footprint without a doubt. In state. Southern Cal, Texas, Florida, Arizona, Colorado, and those Rocky Mountain states in Arizona are really what we focus on.
Good luck on the game Saturday night. Appreciate the visit as always, Kyle. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Brad. Appreciate you having me on.
As always, Kyle Whittingham, head football coach there with the Utah Utes. Appreciate his time. Good stuff there with the coach. I think when you look at coaches around the conference, he's one that's got to start getting some looks outside, and he's not going to say anything about it, so I'm not going to ask him about it. It's just my view. Utah's a good job. He's done a good job there, but Utah is not USC. His name has been in the press out in Los Angeles in the Los Angeles Times. His name surfaced a little bit last year with the Michigan job before Harbaugh took it. I would think that when this hiring cycle gets through, I wrote a column this week on sports360az.com about Todd Graham and Rich Rod. I think they've both done about as much as they can do here with what they've had to work with. I think Arizona State is a little bit further ahead in football. I'm not going to make it out to be that they're miles and miles ahead of U of A, because they're not. They're just not. If you think they are, it's just because you went there and you write a check there. And that's it. From a national landscape, people will still sit there and say, the Arizona Sun Devils play tonight, or the Arizona State Wildcats play tonight, or they'll get the helmets wrong. That's just how it is. I love living in an outpost. We are an outpost nationally. I think to a certain extent, Kyle Whittingham is. You know, a BYU fan is not going to like that interview at all when I talk about how Utah has taken over the state, but it's a fact. It is. Unless you went to BYU, you'll just be, oh, no, 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 it's Republican Democrats. You know, you have it all wrong, Brad. No, I don't have it all wrong. Utah has really gone out of their way and done a nice job. He's right about their schedule. This thing could come crashing and burning in a hurry. You know, I saw where Paula wrote today. She thinks that ASU is going to win this game. I happen to side with her on this. From this standpoint, you know, Utah's every week it's been a bigger game and a bigger game and a bigger game and the emotions and game day and all that. And eventually there is that one game. There is that one week where you end up falling flat on your face. It's not a trap game. Trap game was ASU Colorado last week. Bad team, good team. ASU did what they're supposed to do. That was impressive to me. I cannot imagine that Todd Graham's team is going to go to Salt Lake City and fall flat. I think they've already been flat. They are a riser right now when it comes on the college football front.
So you can trust Todd Graham in a big game where ASU is expected to be competitive? Because you're going against the norm. Because in the past, in big games where ASU is expected to be competitive, they have not fared well at all.
Okay, so let's go back on that.
Okay.
The end of last year, you're right. U of A game, they fell flat on their face. I thought the Notre Dame game, the second half, they were not good, but they played really well and took advantage of Notre Dame being awful. I'm not going to apologize for that win.
But Stanford Pac-12 championship.
Stanford Pac-12 championship, but you know,
Notre Dame in Texas.
David Shaw.
Texas A&M in Texas.
David Shaw. People struggle against David Shaw.
Oregon at home.
UCLA on the road this year.
Expected to compete. People did not give ASU any chance to beat
you
UCLA.
You didn't give ASU any
Correct.
Chance. I thought
you
they were going to play better. I thought they were going to play better. I didn't think they were going to win.
There you go.
I thought they were going to play better.
Todd Graham has to prove he can win a big game in a game where ASU is expected to win. Expected to win. Or at least compete.
It's not been that way his whole career.
It has.
No, it's not.
Sure it has.
How do you see that? What happened when they played Notre Dame last year?
That is the exception.
What happened?
Did they get lucky against USC last year
with Jalen Strong? Yes, they did.
Sure.
They got lucky, but they were still in a position to win the game.
And last year's
with their backup quarterback.
And last year's USC team was okay. They were a Holiday Bowl team. They were an elite team.
And you know what? And I'll even go a step further. Okay. I didn't feel like they played horribly against Texas A&M. The last quarter they did. But when I look at Texas A&M now, of the national surprises this year, Texas A&M is a bigger surprise to me than Utah.
ASU was favored to win that game.
Well, those people were just nuts. They didn't know the tackles of ASU against the alignment of Texas A&M just crushed ASU.
Well, and no one knew what John Chavis was going to do at A&M. Well, now we know he's proven he's a great defensive coordinator, and this week they play Alabama, and it'll be another big test. But
I think that I look at ASU, I would disagree with you as a blanket statement, okay? That wasn't a bad Utah team they beat here last year.
No. And they did win in Salt Lake 2 years ago, but they barely won.
Barely won.
And
you were there.
And this Utah team is 1,000 times more advanced than that Utah team.
But I do think there comes that week where you meet a team, unless they're not good. Like the Oregon game 6 months ago, you and I were talking about, oh, man, Thursday night, ESPN, Oregon, what a great team, what a great game. And now you look at Oregon and say, it couldn't even be Washington State at home.
Even last year, the UCLA Thursday night game, big national stage for ASU on Fox Sports 1, playing a really good ranked team, they fell flat. It just, win a big game in a game where you're expected to be competitive.
So will you look at them differently if they win?
Sure.
This game.
I will have officially turned the page on the clunker against USC, the okay play against A&M, and the two less than impressive wins over Cal Poly and New Mexico.
See,
because now you're stacking wins, okay?
Well,
you went out and you beat UCLA. You came home, you took care of business against Colorado.
Yeah.
Then you go on the road and you beat a top five team in Utah. All bets are off. I'm totally ready to eliminate. But if if ASU goes up to Utah and loses 41-10, what can we make of this team?
No, that's true. I'll give you that. But if they lose 27-24, am I supposed to say Todd Graham can't win a big game? I don't know that. I don't know. If it comes down to the final play of the game and they're on the road against the fourth-ranked team in the nation, it's how they – I'm always one of those that's not just black and white. They lost, they stink. They won, they're great.
But Todd Graham has made us think that it's all black and white.
Oh, that's
when
true.
When you set the free preseason expectations and talk playoffs and national championships.
No, you're right. You're right on that. But I'm one of those that if they lose 41-39, I'm going to say, boy, the defense gave up 39 points. I'm not going to be surprised if Booker and Wilson and those guys score 41 against them. But if ASU wins 17-13, I mean, what am I supposed to say?
The balloon was so high at the beginning of the year.
Do you like Jake's balloon, by the way?
Yeah, I did. And then the balloon started to sink. And then they beat UCLA, and the balloon is back up in the sky. Is the balloon going to be starting to sink again if they don't play well
and they
lose to Utah?
Eric, they could go win on Saturday, and then you're going to Pullman, and they lose at Pullman, and you're going to fly back here and say they're not. So you have to look at the whole body of work.
And there's no layups in college football this year. There isn't. There's none. Portland State beat Washington State. Washington State beat Oregon. I know Oregon is just a shell of their team from last year, but Washington State shouldn't be winning in Eugene. It just shouldn't happen, but guess what? It's happening.
No. All right, Kent Summers is going to join us next. Kent is on the road at, where is he? White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia. We all want to be at White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia. Who wouldn't want to be there? That's where the Cardinals are training this week. We're going to talk to him about Dwight Freeney and the impact on Calais Campbell. And much more with Kent Summers, AZ Central Sports Cardinal Insider. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Let's go deeper into the Cardinals now and head to that bastion of hotspot, White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia. That's where we find Kent Summers from AZ Central Sports, Arizona Cardinals Insider. How has this week worked for the Cardinals, Kent, going from Detroit to West Virginia?
Well, I don't think it could be any better for them. The weather has been perfect in the high 50s, sunshine, no rain. The accommodations are unbelievable. This is where the Saints have their summer training camp. So the facilities are all housed in one building, and they're staying at a nice resort. So I don't think they could have asked for any more.
What brought Bruce Arians to this location?
Well, he was looking for a spot. He likes the Cardinals. Actually, requested to play, their East Coast games if they could back to back, so they could do just this if it worked out. They did it a couple of years ago between New Orleans and Tampa, and stayed in St. Petersburg. They knew of the Greenbrier Resort and this place because of the Saints staying here, and they obviously sent people to look at the facilities, and they came away impressed. And instead of going all the way back home, they come here and fly to Pittsburgh tomorrow, which, the plane will be in the air about half an hour. Arian says it's better for players, especially who have injuries. They don't experience the swelling that they sometimes get on long flights. And, build a little team camaraderie or a little more. So he's a big believer in this stuff.
You haven't been lacking for news this week, so Dwight Freeney comes on board. I want to turn the Dwight Freeney signing into this question. How does it improve Calais Campbell, having Dwight Freeney on the field for those 15 to 20 snaps?
It's going to be interesting to see if he's anything like the Dwight Freeney of old. It'll help Calais tremendously because the Cardinals, in that nickel and dime packages, they'll put Calais even more inside with, say, a Frosty Rucker and have Freeney and maybe Marcus Golden on the outside and Freeney lining up next to Calais. So that has to help Calais a little bit. But, the big question is how much does Freeney have left at age 35? It only 9 sacks over the last 3 years, only 3.5 last year with the Chargers. Although, talking to people there, they said, it was a little bit deceiving that he put more pressure on the quarterback than his sack numbers would indicate. But I think in a part-time role that the Cardinals have him pegged for, I think it could work, and you have to like this regime's track record of taking older guys and getting production out of them at least for a year.
That leads me over to Chris Johnson. Are we in a situation now where Steve Keim should be looking at 2016 for Chris Johnson and tearing up the deal and extending him?
It's a good question. I don't think they're in a hurry to do that. I don't even know if rules NFL rules would allow them to tear up a contract this soon after signing it, but yeah, I mean, you're talking about a guy only 30 years old, and the way he's producing, I would think they would want him around a little bit longer. He doesn't look like he's close to the end of his career. I think they want to see more out of him and see as the season goes along, but I think that's definitely something they could look at toward the end of the year. And I think he might be like a lot of veterans who have looked at this spot as of late and think this is a pretty good situation. This is a place where I'm interested in staying for two or three more years.
Ken Summers joins us from White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia. The Cardinals training there, getting ready for Sunday morning, 10 a.m. kickoff at Pittsburgh. On the Steeler front, Ben Roethlisberger, what is the vibe, the feel around the Cardinals? Will they see Big Ben on Sunday? He's been practicing 7-on-7.
They say they're preparing for both Big Ben and Michael Vick. I'm not quite sure how you do that because they are so different, a quarterback. And I think if Roethlisberger by some chance does play, you know, as Arian said yesterday, I think we'll see him a lot in the pistol and not moving around too much. But talking to beat writers in Pittsburgh, they think it's a real long shot that Roethlisberger plays, that this is just a natural step in him coming back, that they've got some big AFC and division games coming up, and why risk it, you know, after only 3 weeks of a sprained knee, you know, a 4 to 6 week injury, why risk it against the NFC team when you've got critical games coming up and then a bye? So I think that's the way that it'll go. I think there's a little bit of gamesmanship going on. You know, the Steelers aren't going to rule him out at this point, make the Cardinals prepare for him, but I really don't expect him to play.
Good stuff there, Kent. As always, appreciate the time and the visit on the road. Thanks.
You're welcome, Brad.
Kent Summers with us there in West Virginia. Game is on Sunday morning. So tonight, the Coyotes are trying to go to 4-0. I know we don't talk the Coyotes much, like day in and day out, because there hasn't been much to talk about for years now. But they have yet to trail in a game this season, and they play Minnesota tonight. DeClaire is the first Coyote rookie to record a hat trick since 2008, and Mike Smith saved 37 shots. But this is the first time, did I tell you how dry of a spell it's been? This is the first time in 15 years that the Coyotes have started out 3-0. First time 15 years. So there hasn't been any reason to acknowledge what's been going on out there. But good for them. I may even go tonight. I don't know. There's been thinking about it. Got tickets. Not sure. The Suns play Denver tomorrow night. Baseball playoffs. Tonight I will be on Dodgers-Mets this afternoon, that is for sure. Pac-12 football, or basketball media day is today up in San Francisco. And U of A, as expected, gets all the first place, or most of the first place votes, I should say. 18 first place votes. Cal with half that. Utah with 7. Oregon with 1. UCLA with 1. Arizona State with Bobby Hurley down picked 8th in the preseason, which is about right for them. You know, first-year coach, has some talent coming in, doesn't have his own players, doesn't have his own group together as of yet, so that's about right for them. Stanford, USC, Washington State rounded out. So that's going on today as well. Sports360AZ.com, that is our website. We have plenty of content up on Sports360AZ.com. You can check it out right now. Our television show tonight on Fox Sports Arizona is at 6 tonight, and 10 o'clock right after the Coyotes game is done. And tonight on the TV show, we will have Kent Summers, Jake Plummer, and Kyle Whittingham, all three tonight, along with some other content that we're putting together today. Our television show, I'm very pleased with the Ford dealers and all that that is involved with the Arizona Ford dealers. They have been terrific, and they're very, very much a big part of what we do, so we appreciate the Arizona Ford dealers and their participation in the show, and just being supporters and encouragers. Need encouragers and supporters. It's great to have them on board. Again, our content on sports360az.com, AZ Central Sports. Appreciate the partnership with them. I am Brad Sussmat.